In 2 Kings chapter 17 and beginning in verse number 24. And just pray today, if you would, not only for the salvation of the lost, but also today that throughout the day we might just, as we've gathered together today, we might just worship the one who's altogether lovely and the fairest of 10,000 who died and shed his precious blood that you and I could be saved. I desire to worship my Savior today. And that's if I know my heart's desire today, is to worship Jesus Christ. I listened on the radio, and I don't want to digress too much, but let me just get my two cents in on this massacre, as they called it yesterday. I listened all morning long with people on the radio on the way up here, what went wrong yesterday out there in Denver. I tell you what went wrong is families are under attack. Churches are under attack and schools are under attack today. And you know what's wrong? We're not bringing people to see and hear the Word of God. You can't send your kids to church, friend, or Sunday school. You've got to bring them. If mom and dad aren't interested, then why should the kids be interested? And they need to hear about Jesus. He's the answer. I don't care what you think about this psychologist or anything else. I'm not in favor of that. I'm in favor of people hearing about Jesus. And when I came today to worship, I came to worship Jesus. And so that's my desire this morning. And so I ask that you pray for me just for a few moments that we might see Him in the beauty of His holiness today and worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, in verse 24, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim. Did I say 2 Kings 17? I hear people turning pages. Okay. And placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. That's what's wrong with America today. That's what's wrong with the world today. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt at Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nabahaz, and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Amalek, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord, and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. Now here's a tragic statement here in this next verse. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. That's what America is doing today. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence, unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's not, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Neither do they after the statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, Ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall ye fear, and Him shall ye worship, and to Him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which He wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the land, or out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. That's a good picture of America today. I want to speak to us this morning, if the Lord will help us and give me liberty on this subject, but all worship is not acceptable. All worship is not acceptable. I can't remember which one of the two men that preached last night. They were great messages. And one of them addressed the issue about young preachers. I remember when Brother Jones and I used to sit together in conferences, and we'd be called young preachers. Those fellows would get up and point at us. I can't say that now, but, you know, we learned some things. And you and I, who've sat under men of God who preach this book, the Word of God, in the truth of it, in its purity and simplicity, and we learned some things. And if we didn't take them to heart, and if we don't have the courage, the old preachers used to say, and I'll say it too, the guts to stand for it, then there's something wrong with us today. I've heard so much and seen so much and heard people try to explain away what it means to serve the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth and contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And want to excuse themselves when they say, oh, I don't know if I can do that anymore. And I'm getting too old for the fight anymore. Well, I tell you what, I'm in my 60s, and this man down here is all, not, but I'm not going to tell him. 60s, right, okay. But we're trying to stand, and you brethren are supposed to stand with us, and you brothers and sisters are supposed to stand today and encourage one another to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's a time today, and when we can pat one another on the back, though, and I've heard Baptist preachers say this, and congratulate one another and say, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I tell you what, if we don't have God and we don't have the presence of His Holy Spirit here today, we're not going to have any worship. My friend, hardly anything today is missing from churches this day, except the most important thing. If we don't have Him, we don't have anything. The genuine and sacred offering we speak about over here of ourselves and true worship of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need today. I pray God will turn this place upside down today and tomorrow, that when we leave here, we'd say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. If you came from far and near, let's say, it's been great to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, but God has blessed my life with the privilege of sitting at the feet of some of you brethren and those that, as our brother said last night, have gone on home to be with the Lord. And men whose loyalties and responsibilities consistently through the years were to glorify God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as they pass that mantle along, it's our responsibility to take up the mantle, brethren, and continue on. When we come together to worship, may God help us. That'll be in the spirit and in truth that God will be pleased with today. I don't know how you feel, but almost every time before I get in the car and go to church, I ask God, would you be pleased to accept our worship? You know, I desire to please Him. You know what? When you talk about grace, when I hear somebody talk about a sovereign God, It makes me understand God didn't have to do for me what he did. You know. And he saved me. And I grew up hard and rough, and I probably said that many times over the years, but I can't help it. But to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to melt an old sinner, not an old, a young sinner's heart. I was once young, you know. But to melt my heart and make me to see my condition before a holy God. And even to read in his word later and come to understand it better when I came to understand that he gave me the faith to receive his son, Jesus Christ. I rejoice in this today, and I want to please him. I don't know that I can. And I carry that burden with me because he's been so gracious and so good to us. And friend, I love him. I don't love him like he loved me. I don't know that I could give my son for the elect of God like he did. But I tell you what, today I want to please him if I possibly can. And I know I don't love him as much as he loved me, but I sure do love him. And the Bible told me that we love him because he first loved us. And so as I see this, I'm talking today about these brethren who served the Lord God of glory with the Word of God. And they did so and then those that remain are doing so today, my friend, in spite of the fact that many boldly rise up in opposition against them. I stand before you today. And I see you, and who've worshipped and served and preached the power of the gospel of God, which is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And I rejoice and thank God for having known you, because what I know of you, you stood in the gap and you've heard, and then you've preached and stood some more and told people they needed a Savior, and you taught them the church truth that isn't so important today. And yet, friend, Brother Darrell, there you are. It's hated in many places, but it's still the truth. And we're to teach it. And we're to stand for it. And so, we're a small church. We don't grant letters to everybody. We don't receive letters from everybody. And if they're not like you all are, we're not going to do it. And I've had discussions over it and meetings over it, but I'm not sorry for it. Now, I'm talking about worship. I need to get back on the subject. It seems today that an ever-growing number of Baptists are building huge buildings and churches and large congregations. But notice that I said they say they're building them. Where's the Lord fit in today? You know, and they don't give any recognition to them. Let me just show you this and I'll get into the subject. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will, and verse number 10. Let me just say this. If you don't get anything else but this out of this message today, then might you go back home, and might I go back strengthened and encouraged and uplifted, if you will, to stand for what God's taught us from His precious Word. Listen to what He said. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Boy, don't you know, he's pretty wily. You know, they talk about Wile E. Coyote on the cartoons and all this, but he's more wily. Look what he did yesterday, or got accomplished yesterday. You see. But and he said here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God. And here's what I want you to see now. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is not a good day. It's not a pleasant day. This is an evil day that you and I live in. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing that today. Friend, today, he said, wherefore, take all that armor unto you, and having done all, he said over here, and having done all to stand. Takes a bigger man to go upstream than it does downstream, beloved. Takes a bigger man to say, well, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It takes a bigger man when the ball game's on, or it's time to go out and see the kids play Little League ball. It takes a bigger man to say, I'm bringing my family to church. That's where we're going today. And it takes, my friend, men of God to teach this and say, stand therefore with your loins, listen what he said, with your loins girt about with truth. I can't say enough about that word truth. Solomon and long ago in the book of Proverbs said, buy the truth and sell it not. It's a lot of selling out today. God help me as long as I got breath in my body to be able to preach, to help me to stand and stand for the truth of the Word of God. Friend, today, there are those today who, and these are the things that I've seen and have disturbed me and have burdened my heart and literally bring me to tears because of it. But I've seen Baptist churches who've let down and take the name Baptist loosely, and even some who take the name right off of their building. They should have. They weren't Baptist to begin with in the first place. Friend, today, also, we don't see much godly sorrow for sin anymore because preachers don't preach about sin. You're doing good. Just keep doing what you're doing, and one day God will pat you on the head and take you home to glory. That's not the way it works. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Brother Garner, they folks today haven't been to Sinai, have they? That's what we need today. The day God saved me, I saw myself as a sinner. And this is sweeping our country. I need to move on. I haven't even got in past the introduction, and I apologize for that. The Word of God teaches us, when we sit there and worship, teaches us that sinners are only saved by the grace of God. These heretics that run around the country and say, you've got to be baptized, or you were baptized as an infant, your sins are washed away, that doesn't do you any good. That won't help you. Do your best and God will receive you into glory. That won't do you any good. When you and I got saved, we cast her all upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as our personal Savior. Thank you, brother. I'm convinced this morning, and I hope you are too, that we need to be reminded this morning, though, about the delight and the meaning of worship. I think Brother Darrell said last night that Abraham went with Isaac, and he said, we're going up to worship. Might we do that today? So, let me show you this, and we'll move on then in our lesson. Turn with me to John chapter 4, please, and verse 23. Listen to what the Lord said. He said a whole lot, and everything He said is worth hearing. He said, let's go back to verse 22. Jesus said to them, ye worship, ye know not what. Friend, I submit to you today, that's an indictment against most of churches today. They worship somebody they don't even know, and He's not pleased, and they won't accept their worship, and I'll show you why in just a second here. He said, we know what we worship. Isn't that glorious today that we can say this as Baptists, saved by the grace of God, and taught the truth of God's Word? He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Would we be considered true worshipers today? I believe we should be. You know, we've been taught the Word of God. We believe what the Bible has to say, and we try to practice what the Bible has to say, or we do practice what it has to say. God desires true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now listen to what He said here. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him. There's no option here, friend. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as we see this, and I put this down here, and I just want to share this with you. Anybody that doesn't enjoy worship is really not ready to go to glory. Better enjoy worshiping the Lord and hearing His Word and serving Him. I think one of the things that bothers me in this thing about worship today is that we have the opinion that, and many people do, that God's supposed to serve them instead of them serve God. I have the feeling that if God doesn't do something for us,
or do something for them that they want done, then God is not serving them, or they're not going to follow Him, you see. But God's done a lot for us when He saved us. You know, and put you in a church, as the Bible said, where His kind of churches are the pillar and ground of the truth. We're to hold the truth up, and we're to be founded on the truth and keep on keeping on in the day in which we live, you see. I want to just set the stage here for what we read in our text this morning. You probably wondered, where in the world did you go with this thing? But all worship is not acceptable. Following the conquest by the nation of Assyria, most of the people of Israel were deported to Assyria. And in their place, the Bible tells us, Assyria imported captives from other countries to live in Samaria, and the main province of Israel at that time. In our text that we read this morning in 2 Kings 17, the religion of those who were imported is described at length. And they were religious. It's like last night. I saw when I got in last night and put the news on for a few moments, and I saw what these people were having memorial service. And the man that was speaking to them, I'll say a man of the cloth, if he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he believes what He teaches them, he doesn't know Him, how can he be of any comfort to them? When you lose somebody or your heart is broken today, the only one that can bring you any comfort and give you any strength in that hour of sorrow is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today, as we see this, with this passage then fresh in our minds, how might the Samaritans' worship compare with the worship service of God today? What goes on in our world of religion today? When pastors in some churches are afraid to preach about sin and known sin or particular sin because it's going to offend somebody. Amen. Lord, help us. That's about the shape we're in today. Let me talk to you briefly for a moment this morning, first of all, about a religion of fear. Somebody said, don't scare them. Don't scare the children. But what I read here in this passage of Scripture is there was a religion of fear, and this is evident by the following statements. Look back in that passage with me. Look in verse 32. See what they said there. Talking about these folks that were there brought in by the Assyrians. And the first thing in verse 32, the Bible said, so they feared the Lord. Sounds good. In verse 33, they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods. Uh-oh. Served their own gods. You know what? They're Baptists today. They're doing the very same thing. Many Baptists worship the God of pleasure on Sunday morning and want to go fishing in the warm weather. I serve the God of pleasure, and I can't be bothered going to Sunday school this morning because I've got to prepare when we get home from church today. We're going to pack the car and take off. We're going out on our vacation. Where does that happen? That happens in a lot of Baptist churches in this country. So these nations, in verse 41, these nations, the Bible said, feared the Lord and yet served their graven images. Uh-oh. But you see, in verse 34, the Bible tells us they had the wrong kind of fear. Unto this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord. I'm coming down to an explanation what I mean by fear as far as you and I fearing the Lord. And I believe we're all in agreement on it. Now, is this a contradiction? I don't think so. I think there's a proper fear of the Lord. And I believe the Bible teaches us this. Jesus taught it. And we'll run out of time, so I've got the verses here. I'm going to share them with you. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 28, Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, are not able, I should say, to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then Peter opened his mouth in Acts 10 and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Not that we work for our salvation, but if you are saved by the grace of God, you will work for Jesus Christ. There's a difference, you see. And as we recognize this today and see this today, there is a reverential awe of God. You know, when we look at it this way, I know we don't worship the building, but when we came in this building this morning, beloved, we were standing on holy ground because this building has been set aside as a place of worship to honor and glory the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we came into a place where we knew the Lord was there. One of the brethren said last night, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I believe he's here today. And we came to hold him up today to a lost and a dying world as the only hope for fallen man, you see. My friend, there's a fear of the Lord. Solomon taught in the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're living in that day today. You tell somebody that you love the Lord, he died for you and he saved your soul. And encourage them to trust him. You witness to them, if you will. And they look at you like you're an idiot. Last year I had two friends I grew up with. One of them I hadn't seen in over 40 years. And he and the other friend came and helped me paint the outside of our annex building on the church. And I kept working and working and hoping to get them to come to church. I'm still going to keep working. And trying to encourage them to come to church. In fact, I told them the other day that Brother Harvey's going to be with us in June. You need to come and hear this man preach. But I said, you don't have to wait till June. Come and hear me preach, you know. But that's what we need today. You see, he came and one thing that one man said to me, and we're all in our 60s. And so they started painting and they got tired and we kept painting. I'm rolling on the walls. They're painting in the cracks of that cinder block wall. And he admitted to me, one of them, that he was doing that to find acceptance with God. I said, Ronnie, it won't work. You need to trust Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. You see. But that's what people think today. That's what people have been told today. But they need a Savior. Now, you and I have the Savior. But we need to share him with this world that we live in. The fear of the Lord, then again, let me repeat myself, is the kind of awesome reverence toward God that motivates us to turn away from evil and serve God faithfully at all times. Or at least strive to. I know we're going to fail at times. I know we sin at times, but aren't you glad today that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? You don't hear much confession anymore. You don't hear many people getting bothered about sin anymore. And We've changed our vocabulary and our worship even. We don't describe sin anymore like we used to. Homosexuality is a sin. It's not an alternate lifestyle. But we've tried to excuse it and call them gay. I hesitate using the word gay. But I tell you what, I'm happy and I'm gay when I'm in the presence of the saints of God, in the house of God, or even in fellowship outside with them, you see. But that's the meaning of gay. We and I'm not into politics, so if you get mad at me, go ahead. But we say that our president made a little mistake. And it really wasn't a sin that he made or committed, you see. But the Bible said adultery is adultery. It calls it just what it is. You see, when we worship, we need to say it like it is, you see. So the Samaritans had a wrong kind of fear. They would have never thought of God had it not been for the lions. Now I'm getting to what I want to say here before my time runs out. And I'm just about going to make it. I've got something I want to share with you. But you see, listen in verse 25 and 26. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. All right, what did they think about it? Did they tremble before him? Don't you think sometimes when you and I get far away from the Lord where we don't need to be, we don't tremble like we used to, recognizing that we're one of His and He bought us with the precious blood of His Son? You see, when they when they thought of him, it was to make them tremble. But you see, this is like so many people today in the world, and this is what I wanted to share with you before I finish this morning. We think of God, or people think of God, only when they're ill. As soon as they get well, they forget him. During their times of trouble, and friend, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all have trouble. You know, you can be in the church or out of the church. The difference today is we have someone when we get into trouble that we can call on. You see, and so is that during our troubles, but what about during our joys? Did you ever bow your head and pray and just thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ? Thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him for your wife or for your husband or for your family. And thank Him and pray for them and hold them up before the Lord. There ought not to be a day in our lives, beloved, when we don't pray for our loved ones and take them before the throne of grace. There ought not to be a day that we forget to pray for them. Those young people, your children or your grandchildren, friend, today, they're under attack in this world. Let's understand it today. And we ought to hold them up before the throne of grace and ask God to help them. Because if God doesn't help them, they're not going to get what they're looking for in this world. And when you're faced with problems, you pray. But not when you enjoy prosperity. When things are going good, it seems like people don't need God, do they? And so if we turn to God only when things go wrong, my friend, today our religion or our worship is no different than the Samaritans. We need to go to Him every day. And I tell my church, some of my best prayer meetings with the Lord is sometimes when I'm driving down the road. I mean, I don't pull over and close my eyes, but I pray as I go. If I had the radio on, I'd turn the radio off and talk to Him. He said, "Boy, you are nuts." That's okay. I make no apologies for that. I like to talk to my Father, you see. So my friend, we have a religion of form today. But if we go through the form and not the substance, in other words, a right spirit and a right attitude, we're hypocritical. Take your Bible quick. Let's look at this. We got a couple of minutes yet. Let's look over in Matthew 15 and verses 7 and 8. Look with me over there. I'm talking about worship. And don't you, when you want to worship or when you come to worship, don't you want to please the Lord? You're not your own anymore. You know, you've been bought with a price. And we all want to please Him who really has done so much for us, you see, today. He said, Jesus is talking here, by the way. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Isn't that the condition of our world today? Oh yeah, a few weeks ago everybody knew the Lord. You know, we had services and people even give out little candy baskets to kids. You know. But what about now? You know, they talk about the death and the burial resurrection, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ about this time of the year. But once that time of the year goes on, what about then? Do we preach Jesus Christ that He conquered death and hell and the grave, and that through Him we can have eternal life? Friend, today, the last thing I want you to see is we have a religion or a worship of compromise in this world. In the case of the Samaritans, they had God. At least the Bible said they feared God. But they had other gods also, and they liked the other gods better or best. And the Bible told us that in the first part of verse 41. They gave God lip service, but they gave God, the gods, their true service. Let me say this. I've been preaching now for a few years, and I have had people coming to me telling me things that they thought I wanted to hear on how they're serving God. But some of them don't come for Sunday school. They're not interested in being there at 10 o'clock, you know, and seeing their children and their family come to hear more about the Word of God. But all the while, they'll tell you, "Look what I did all week, preacher. This is what I've been doing." Well, then I haul out my Bible and preach Hebrews 10:25. And tell them about their responsibility to be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open. And that's what I'm supposed to preach. I can't change them. Brother Titus and these other preachers can't change you. But I tell you what, we can tell you about somebody who can and does change you. You know. Had a man that used to come to our church, and he said, I quit coming, preacher. He said, because you preach about my sin. I said, you ought to just repent of your sin. You know, that's what you ought to do, and get right with God and get your both feet back in the house of God and serve Him. And that's the truth of it. We can't apologize for what the Bible said. We go to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're going to declare the whole counsel of God. You see, but these things can happen to Christians today. When they seek to serve God, there's a lot of Christians today that try to also serve the world at the same time. And this is impossible according to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. And you know what? And I say this, and I wanted to get this far, and I'm thankful that I did, and I thank the Lord that I could say what I'm about to say to you this morning. When people try to serve both the world and the Lord, the world always wins. That's why he tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, shun the very appearance of evil. He said, stay away from it, you see. And it shows up in their jobs, in their recreation, and every time it takes precedence over their service to God. God help us. We need some men of conviction today and families of conviction that will stand up and take a positive stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows, my friend, today, though, how people seek to rationalize their conduct. But let me say this in closing this morning. God requires total commitment to Him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we don't have that, if we don't do that and we don't follow that, we're going to be of all people most miserable one day. And we wonder sometimes why we get under guilt and everything else when we're not close to the Lord like we know we should be. If today you've come to worship, if you just bow your head for a moment, and ask God to help you and draw you closer to Him, and that you might enjoy His presence in your life like you did before, and that you might please Him, or that we might please Him like we should, and be conscious always of His presence in our lives. I desire that today. I came here today for that. And I pray that as we worship the Lord today and tomorrow night, that we'll be aware of this and we'll enjoy His presence and be faithful to Him who loved us enough to die for us.